such an encouragement this morning. Take your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. I did forget one thing during announcement time, is that for all of our fathers here today, we have a special gift for you. We have journals sitting on the back table, so feel free to take a journal for yourself. There, you can pick one. We do have I think plenty for everybody here today, for all of our fathers. So it's a journal that you can use for taking sermon notes, your devotions, or whatever you need to use it for. So I want to encourage you with that, and happy Father's Day to everyone out there this morning. And as we commemorate Father's Day and remember our fathers, whether they are here with us still or they are with the Lord and passed on, we can have fond memories of them. And this morning, I want to speak to fathers today. And many times we can ask a lot of different questions like, how should I raise my children? How do I raise kids? You know, I'll tell you this, raising children is difficult. Amen. It is the greatest challenge in all the world is raising children. And many times we're at a loss for what we should do and how we should raise them. And said, Lord, what do I do? What example do we have? And some people, they mistakenly say, well, the Bible has nothing to say about raising children. No one could be more wrong than to look at the Bible and say it doesn't teach you how to raise children. We know that we're to bring our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, but that's not what I'm going to be preaching on today. But we're going to be looking at the perfect father, the example of the perfect father in the Bible. And the perfect father, and by the way, if you are here today, even though your children say you're perfect, we're all human beings, we're all flawed, okay? None of us are perfect. Now, if your father's in heaven, he's perfect now, amen? You know, but talking about biblically speaking and where we're at right now, we only have one perfect father, and that is our heavenly father. And we can learn some lessons today in how God parents us. You ever think about that? That when you get saved, you become the child of God. You're adopted into the family of God, and God becomes your heavenly father. Yes, we have earthly parents, but he's our spiritual father, and he parents us. He is the best parent that has ever existed. I don't say lived, because God then wasn't born, but he is the greatest parent. And we see the example of Scripture. And by the way, the only way we're going to be the proper parents, the only way we're going to be the proper father is if we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. The only way we can do good in this life and we can raise our kids and we can be good fathers, but to be the best of what God wants us to be, we need to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior first, but also that we have a relationship with our Heavenly Father so we may learn of Him. And we're going to look at that today. Matthew chapter 6 is part of the Sermon on the Mount. And you're going to probably look at this passage that I'm about to read this morning. It's a very, very familiar passage. Many children memorize this particular passage of Scripture when they're growing up. Even though they don't even live in a Christian home, many unsaved people know this passage of Scripture. And you're going to read it and say, what does this have to do with Father's Day? And it has much to do with that because it shows us what our Heavenly Father does for us, and therefore we can apply it what we are to be doing for our children as their father. If we could stand out of respect for the reading of the Word of God, Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to begin in verse number 9. This is what's known as the Lord's Prayer. Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 9 this morning. Yes. Oh, yes, I almost forgot. Children's Church, you are dismissed. We do have Children's Church today. I almost forgot about that. Forgot about two things. So any young people under the age of, was it under 10? 10 is fine. Okay, 10 and younger are dismissed to go with Mrs. Furbeck and Mrs. Becky, Mrs. Kincaid over there for Children's Church. As we read Matthew chapter 6, verse number 9 this morning. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Let's pray and ask God's blessing today. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would bless us today. Lord, that you'd help me to be clear in the message you've laid upon my heart. Oh, Lord, as we look at the example of yourself, we look at how you take care of us so well. You have created us and made us and take care of us and lead us to you, Lord. I pray that we will learn great lessons in raising and leading our children. We thank you, Lord, for all that you do. We thank you for your power. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. And a message entitled, The Perfect Father. The Perfect Father. I think all of us strive to be that our Father's here today. We strive to be the best Father that we can be. Maybe even strive to be the perfect Father. But unfortunately, we will never gain perfection until we get to heaven. But there is one who is perfect. That is God, our Heavenly Father, Jehovah God. And we see in the example given here of the Lord's Prayer, these are the words of Jesus. Jesus talking about his Heavenly Father, talking about how we are to address God in prayer, how we are to view God, and some very important truths about our Heavenly Father and what he does in our life and what we ought to be seeking from him. This morning, we're going to look at three areas that are extremely important. Sorry, four areas that are perfect in their simplicity and also examples to us. So first this morning, as we look at verse number 9, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed means blessed. But verse 10, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And I want us to pause for a second. That many times we memorize passages of scripture like this, and we become so familiar with them, we can recite them. But one time, one of my college professors taught me this, and I've never forgotten it, and it's extremely true. Sometimes we need to wipe the dust of familiarity off of Scripture sometimes, because we can get into automatic mode. Oh, yes, Pastor, I know this passage. I know this passage, and I can do this as well. And I'm reading, oh, I know that. But if you read it like you reading it for the first time, you're going to see some amazing things. And we can wipe the dust of familiarity off of this passage this morning. And so verse number 10, first point this morning, if you're taking notes, is that we see first perfect direction. Perfect direction. It's a blessing to know that God created us. For I am fearfully and wonderfully made, that my soul knoweth right well. We have been made and created in a particular way, in a special way. And we many times, we hear today, you know, that God has not given the credit for the creation of life, and that God has given each one of us life today. In that, God did not just create us and say, okay, here you go, have fun with life. He doesn't do that. He has a plan for us. Every person on the face of this earth today, every person in this auditorium, every person watching in the live stream, every person that lives in this city, every person that lives on this planet, God has a specific plan for them, and that's amazing. That an almighty, all-powerful God would have a plan for billions of people. He has a plan for them. God has a plan for you. God has direction. This is an amazing truth here. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. You know that God has perfect obedience in heaven? In that whatever God commands to be done in heaven by one of his angels or by any other creature that is in heaven, they obey immediately and it is immediately carried out. Whatever God's will is in heaven, the prayer is that just on earth, whatever his will is on earth, that it would be done in the same way and accomplished the same way it is in heaven. What does that mean? That we would have the same obedience toward God as those created beings in heaven. Amen? Because we are a created being of God, and God wants a special relationship with us. God gives us perfect directions. God is not like the cheap GPS of many years ago that you had it and you had it in your car. How many remember recalculating? You remember that? Okay, maybe you still have one of those GPSs. I had one of those older Garmins. I got it for Christmas. 1 year, it was a good GPS, but after a couple of years, you know, the maps don't get updated. And I remember coming into Killeen for the first time. That was 10 years ago, I believe, last week. It was the first time I came to Killeen, Texas, came to Tabernacle Baptist Church. And it was just coming in, and I didn't know this about Killeen. I know this now, but Killeen is constantly expanding, constantly changing. Actually, when I first came here, they had just finished the Stan Sluter bypass around. They had finished redoing all of the exits coming down 190, now I-14. And I remember that I was going down through Harker Heights. I was driving into Killeen for the first time. I drove driven from Indiana, and I was driving in here. And my GPS, and when you look at the road and your GPS is off-road, you know, your GPS said you went off-road because the highway had changed and my GPS wasn't updated yet. And it took me going about by the exit three times because it said, get off. And then the sign said, exit closed. So I'm trying to figure out what exit I was supposed to get on. Get off, and then I get off, and my GPS would say, recalculating. Guess what? That GPS hadn't done up, have updated maps. Therefore, it wasn't giving me good directions. You know, but we don't have to worry about that with God. God gives perfect directions. God has a perfect plan. And when we say, many times we look at God's plan as a plan, but remember something, it's perfect. Amen? It's a perfect plan. God doesn't make mistakes, even though we look at something and we didn't. It's not what we expected. God didn't make a mistake, and we say, God, are you sure about this? Well, I didn't take a wrong turn somewhere. If you're following God, then He'll give you perfect directions. A great example of this, look at Exodus chapter 13, is the children of Israel. When they were brought out of Egypt, God's presence was with them in the manifestation of a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. What was that there for? Why was God's presence there? He was parenting them. He was leading them through the wilderness. He was leading them exactly where they ought to go. The cloud would begin moving, and then they would follow after. And whatever that cloud stopped, they stopped. And if that cloud was there and stayed and it came over the top of the tabernacle, then they would remain, whether it be for one or many days. But then when that cloud would lift up into the sky, they said, hey, it's time to pack up camp, and it's time to start moving again. And that's exactly what God still does. Though we don't see the pillar of cloud, sometimes I wish we had that sometimes. Amen? That we still had that. Okay, Riggs, show me exactly where you want me to go. Show me exactly. Bring the cloud back. But God has something even better. He has the person of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and our lives every single day to guide us and to lead us every moment of the day. But Exodus 13, verses 21 and 22, and the Lord went before them by day in the pillar of cloud to lead them the way. And by night in the pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Why was he doing that? He was giving direction. Perfect directions. You know, as a father, we see from this example, God gives us perfect directions. Are we following that perfect direction today? God gives us perfect direction in His Word every single day. Are we seeking for that direction? Are we seeking daily from God to direct our steps? The steps of a good man are what? Ordered by the Lord. And guess what? And he delighteth in his way. God, a godly man delights in the direction of God, delights in the paths of God. But as a father, God has placed the leadership of our children in our hands. We saw that in Ephesians 5 this morning in Sunday school. As a father, the leadership of our families and the leadership of our children, in the same way God directs us, we need to direct our children. Which way will you direct them? God doesn't make mistakes, but unfortunately we can. Amen. We're not perfect. But if we have a right relationship with God and we're seeking God's direction, we're going to make fewer mistakes in directing our children. We need to have that direction, even in the small things. You know, if you're homeschooling your kids or you're sending your kids to a school somewhere, where you send them is up to God. Amen. What you do in that is between is God has a perfect plan for them, and God uses you as their authority and as their parent to direct them in God's perfect way for them. God doesn't give us free rein. Well, we can direct our children any way we want. That we need, and some people, they like to fulfill their unrealized dreams in their own personal life, and they push their children to fulfill their unfulfilled dreams. Hold on. It's not about your plan for their life. It's about God's plan for their life. God has a perfect plan for you, and part of God's perfect plan for you and the perfect job as a parent is this, is to direct your children in the way God has for them and the path that God has for them. And it might not be what you expect. You know, it's, well, I need to direct my child to be successful and to have good character. That's good. And to love the Lord. That's good. And to run the family business. Hold on. It might be God's will, but it might not be. I'll never forget this. And my dad probably remembers this. I think I was about 15, 16 years old. And, you know, I wanted to earn some money. And you know what? I was selecting a career. I was thinking about being a trained engineer or being a pilot or being something. And you know what? I said, you know what? I thought in my head to myself, my dad ran an in-home business. He's a dental lab technician, very successful one. My mom and he did that for many, many years. And so I was homeschooled. And so I remember one day I was talking to my mother. I said, you know what? I think I will know what I want to do with my life. And she goes, what's that? I think I want to learn the family business. I want to learn from Dad how to be a dental lab technician. Mom looked at me. Go talk to your father. And so I went and I said, I can't, Dad, you know what? And I'm thinking to myself, my dad's going to be so proud of me. You know, my dad is going to be just to take on the family business. He's going to be so honored. So, of course, son, we're going to do that. And I sat down next to him and said, hey, Dad, I got a question for him. I'll never forget. He has a crown in his hand and he's using his handpiece and doing his crown like this. And I said, he would always do that. He would work and talk to me at the same time. And so he said, what's going on? And I said, well, Dad, I've realized what I think I need to do with my life. He goes, well, what's that? And we had many conversations about this. I said, Dad, I think I finally figured it out. And I want to learn the dental lab technician trade. I want you to teach me, and I want to take over your business. And it can be like a father and son business. He kept working for a minute. And he would do this, and he'd go, and blow it off. And he'd keep working with his handpiece and do this. I'm thinking, hey, he's gonna, you know, just, this is wonderful and everything like that. And he did this. He goes, well, son, he said, that's good and all. He said, but I'm not going to teach you my business. He looked at me square in the eye. I said, I'm not going to teach you. I'm like, well, why? I was offended. Well, why not, Dad? Am I not good enough? He goes, no, that's not God's plan for you, so I'm not going to teach it to you. Right? You remember that, Dad? Yeah. And here I stand today because you said that. Because my plan got shattered because I was going to be Easy Street. I could stay home. I didn't have to go to college. I could just go graduate high school and just stay home and do that and learn my dad's business. But guess what? They knew God had a different plan for me. And they did. I didn't know till many years later that my parents had prayed for many years that I'd go into the ministry. But they never told me. Because they wanted it to be God to lead me into it, not they make me go into it. Isn't that how God handles us? He doesn't force us into what he wants us to do, but we have a free will and a free decision. But you know what? He gives us the indications along the way. He prepares us. And you know, there are times in your life, and I think you know what I'm talking about, that you understand by something you're experiencing or going through in your life right now, so God was preparing me for this moment right here because of things I went through. You realize God was preparing. God was directing. God was leading. We should direct our children in the same way that God directs us, not through oppression and excessive control, but through loving direction, loving guidance. Dads, you need to guide your children. There are some today that don't believe in that. It's like, well, God needs to speak to them. Can I tell you something? God uses you to speak to your children. God uses you to direct your children. I'm not saying, now some people take it too far. I am the voice of God. Okay, you can take it a little too far. But really, God uses authorities to speak to us and to lead us and direct us. And parents are the number one on that authority list. God has entrusted you with that. So you better be in your Bible and better have a right relationship with God. Better be seeking God because what happens with our children? It's up to us how we direct them. Are we going to direct them? Second, we see, let's look back at Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 11. Give us this day our daily bread. And that brings to a second point, perfect provision. Perfect provision. God provides our every need. Amen. We see that in verse, give us this day our daily bread. Notice it didn't say our weekly bread or our monthly bread or our yearly bread. It says our daily bread, what we need by the day. Because isn't that exactly what they did, what he did with the children of Israel? He gave them daily manna. And only on Friday did he give them enough for Friday and Saturday, because of Sabbath there was to be no work done. And they, every time they would try and hoard some of it or keep it over, that by morning it would be rotten and have worms in it. You know how they knew that? Even though God told them that's what would happen. I'm sure a lot of them tried it. Well, God, you know, God understands. And guess what? It had in the morning. It had worms in it. It had rotted. Because he was training them. He was showing them something. He was showing them his faithfulness. He was showing them his provision for them. That they had exactly what they needed. And then even that, they started to complain. They wanted meat. And God says, fine, if you want meat, I'm going to give you so much quail, it's going to be coming out of your nostrils. You want that? He gave them what they wanted. But there's some other consequences that they weren't expecting. Guess what? Be thankful for what God gives you, because God might just give you what you asked for, but also give you a lot more than you'd asked for. That always happens. God knows about our needs before we even ask. Look at Luke chapter 11. Now, Luke chapter 11 is the synoptic of the Lord's Prayer, but it has some interesting details here that are not covered in Matthew. Luke chapter 11 and verse number 2. We'll start there. And the disciples said unto him, when we pray, say, our Lord, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so on earth. Give us this day, give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And verse 5, and he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall give unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. A picture of prayer and also of God's provision for us. But also, as we look back at Matthew chapter 6, verse number 8. Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. Now, God provides our every need. God knows about our needs before we even ask, but God waits to provide what we require until we see our need of it from him. That's very important. God does not just have a conveyor belt coming down from heaven and providing our every need without us even asking. Now, sometimes God provides our needs that we aren't even aware that we need. He provides those things. You know, we do that with our children, don't we? You know, many times they try and go outside, but they are not aware that they need socks on or shoes on, right? And what do? Before they go outside, we provide them with socks and shoes for them to wear. Why? Because that's what they need. You know, well, we'll just let them go on with whatever. They don't need socks or shoes because they never wear them. They never ask for them. You know, if we parented like that, our children wouldn't have a lot of things. You know what? If little kids, especially little kids, you know, 2 and 3 years old, if they had the option, they'd run without clothes on. If they had the option. But guess what? They have needs. They don't say, they don't come to you every morning and say, I need a shirt. I need a pair of pants. I need those things. What? They have needs and we provide them for them. But God wants us to seek him for our needs. He knows about our every need. We must be careful as well of over-providing for our children. God doesn't over-provide for us. He waits for us to seek him. He provides things that we might not think of or not aware of. But there are some parents that they just provide everything for their children. They over-provide. So what are you talking about? I'm not saying that they aren't fed properly, taken care of properly. We all are to do that. The Bible says we're to provide for our families. But I'm talking about over-providing. We call it spoiling their kids. Why is it called that? Because it makes children act rotten. That's why. You know what? They didn't get what they wanted. I mean, they pick out all the most expensive things from the Christmas catalog, and guess what? They get it every year. You know what? I don't think I ever got anything I picked out of the Christmas toy catalog, ever. I got a lot of other nice things, but I never got exactly what I wanted. That was the plan, I think. And also, I'll never forget one year. I think I was about 10 or 11 years old, and I went through the toy catalog. You know, they don't do that anymore. You know, now all the kids are online on Amazon, and they make their wish list and send it to their parents by email to get me this for Christmas. They say, sure, they hit buy the whole thing, and it gets shipped to them, and that's it. Okay, that's how Christmas works today, unfortunately. There's no surprise in that. I mean, I didn't know what I was getting for Christmas. A couple times I gave a couple good educated guesses, but they had the toy catalog from Sears, and it was just its own thing. And it was designed for children to find. It was designed for those children that went to the mailbox and got the mail. Right? Have you remember this? Okay, that's exactly what it was designed for. And then, you know, what I would do is I'd give my mom the mail, but I keep the toy catalog. You know, and I'd go looking around and I'd circle things. I remember one year I said, Mom, I'm going to make Christmas super easy for you this year. You don't have to think about what you need me to get me. I have done all of that for you. And I have gone through and I went through everything and I circled all the cool things like the $150, like at that time, the $350, $400 Power Wheels and the $200 Lego set and all of this other stuff. I mean, I think what I had, there had to have been over $1,000 worth of stuff. And I said, this is what I need for Christmas. And my mom looked at it and said, well, that's great. You have a job? Like, no. And I said, well, you're not getting that for Christmas. Sorry. And I said, well, think about it. That was my mom's way of saying no. My kids know that. When I say I'll think about it, my kid says, that means it's going to be no, doesn't it? I say, it might be. It's about 90 to 10, 90% no, 10% yes. Usually when I have to think about it is that I know mom's not going to approve of it, so I go and talk to her, and then I let her be the back. No, not just but perfect provision. We must be careful of over-providing for our children. To provide for their needs, yes, but not to provide for their every whim. Does God provide our every whim? He does not. He doesn't provide. James is very clear that he doesn't provide things for us to consume upon our lust. Just because we want it, because some people view God as a genie. Well, hey, if I want a Ferrari, I'll get a Ferrari. You know what? God knows you don't need a Ferrari. Amen? Well, now, just be honest. Why would you need a Ferrari? You know, I need that, or I need the really big, okay, that's not, well, no one needs a Ferrari in Central Texas, but I need the 2020, you know, Ford F-350. That costs $65,000. I'm like, how in the world does a truck cost that much? But anyway, and I look at that stuff, and say, you know, you can buy a house for that much money, right? And go there, and these people, I see these people, and these soldiers, and they drive around, and then they go and they drive it through the mud. You're driving a $70,000 truck through the mud. What if you scratch it? You know, but, you know, God, I really need the 2020 Ford F-350 with the Skyjacker, you know, the mud swamper tires, you know. I need that. Why? Do you live out in a ranch somewhere where you need that? No, it looks cool. Well, guess what? You can pray all you want. You're not going to get it. Right? Just like I wanted that Power Wheels really, really bad. Just because I wanted those things really bad. Did I get them? No, because I didn't need them. Now, there's nothing wrong with providing things for your children that they don't need to show that you love them. Nothing wrong with that. But if you constantly do that, if you all the time you're giving your kids everything they want, you know what they're going to associate with? They're going to associate love with things. They're going to associate love with things. And then, you know what? They're going to grow up, and then they're going to find a woman that communicates that way too. That they associate love with things. They associate love with diamonds. They associate love with these things. That's dangerous. And you're setting someone up for a life of heartache with that. Because life is not about things. Because whenever you're not able to provide those things, oh, you don't love me. You don't care about me. That's dangerous. But God has a perfect balance of provision. But not only physical things. When our children are in need, we need to provide exactly what they need. Physically, emotionally, spiritually, and time that they need. Every child is a little different in the amount of time they need. Some children need more time than others. Some children need more special time. You know, of my three boys, you know, Caleb is a special time person. You know, we can be spending time as a family, but he likes one-on-one time. And guess what? But he can do things quickly. You know, he's fine with giving a hug, giving a quick kiss, and he's good to go for the day. Philip is not that way. I mean, if you just come up to him, give him a quick hug and a kiss, he's only two. He just looks at you like, and you walk away from him. He's like, but that was like a 10-second hug, and I needed a 1-minute hug. And he just looks at you like, you know, and one time he just stood there and put his head down, his lips are quivering. And he just, and I'm like, what? I came back over because I was kind of in a rush. And I came back over to him. He just hugged me and did that. And I hugged him for a second. I gave him a kiss. Then he was fine. But he requires a different amount of time than Caleb does. And Timothy is completely different than the other two. Every child is different. Don't cookie cutter your kids. They're all the same. They all think the same. They all act and they don't. I mean, Caleb is a lot like his mother. Philip is a lot like me in some ways. But Timothy, we don't know who he's like yet. He's different. He's smart. I love all my children, but they're all different. And by the way, just because a child acts like you doesn't mean they think like you. Got to be careful of that. You know, it's very dangerous to say, well, I know exactly what you're thinking, honey. You're talking to your wife. Just a hint, guys. You don't. Don't do that. Rookie mistake. You know what? Sometimes people that have been married a long time and they're talking to my office about marriage counseling. I remember one time someone that had been married a good length of time, they came to me and, you know, before having marriage trouble, I said, well, I know exactly, they got kind of in a discussion, well, I know exactly what you're thinking. And I stopped them and said, that's exactly why you need marriage counseling right there. You haven't learned to stop saying that. And she would do the same thing. I know exactly what you're thinking too. And you don't. Ladies, you don't know what we're thinking. We're a lot dumber than you give us credit for, okay? Sorry, we think a lot more simply than you think we do. Sorry, guys, I had to tell the truth on you. But what's this? Don't do that to your children either. I know exactly what you're thinking. I know exactly what you're doing. I know exactly why you're doing that. You know what? If you tell them that all the time, they're not going to communicate with you. They're not going to tell you what's going on. Since you already know what's going on, they're not going to tell you. Right? You need to be careful. And then, you know what I think I'm going to need to do? I think I'm going to need to make this a part two message. So you've got to come back tonight. So I have two more points, but we'll break it up into a second part for tonight. But are we willing to give our children that direction and that provision that they need? Not everything they want, but that God give you wisdom to give them exactly what they need. And by the way, when God leads and says they need this, you can say, well, no, they don't. They need this over here. Hold on a second. Who's the perfect father? Who's the perfect parent? God is. If God's saying they need this over here, you're like, okay. Now, we've all done this. I guess we'll do that. And then your child opens up and that meant so much to them. And that's exactly, Mom and Dad, that's exactly what I needed. And like, well, I think I need to listen to you, my Heavenly Father, a lot more. Because we think we have it all figured out. We don't. The sooner we decide and we admit that we don't have it figured out, the sooner that we come to the Lord, I need your help. Don't know what to do here. The God will lead you and you will have success in your family. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for today. I thank you for your power. I thank you for your love. I pray that you would use us as godly parents, that we would make the decision, dear Lord, to follow your direction, to follow your provision. And Lord, forgive us where we fall short. Help us to admit where we fall short. I know I do. But we thank you, Lord, for the perfect example, for the perfect power that is in your Son and in your Word. And we pray that we would be used of you, dear Lord, to raise our children. For, Lord, we know they're a gift from you. They're a loan to us but for a time. And Lord, we don't know how to raise them, but you do. I pray that you lead us and guide us. Dear Lord, bless this invitation time. Guide us, dear Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.